Yo, Spooky!
I got to the bottom of the stairs.
I should be home in bed.
So should I.
Her shields flushed purple-red. My own shielding reverberated, answering hers. She stopped and looked down at me as the emerald in her cheeks sparked a greeting.
You look different, Danny.
Must be exhaustion and digging up old bodies.
I paced up the stairs, aware that Jace was right behind me. My cheek burned, the twisted caduceus tat shifting its inked lines against my flesh.
What do we have here?
Ceremonial.
She ushered me past the blues, who both recoiled slightly. I guess my reputation preceded me. There was one time I was glad of it. At least if they were recoiling, they weren't staring at me. The emerald on my cheek burned as I stepped over the threshold. A deep, drilling warning. The shielding's torn.
From inside.
Yeah. Just like the other three. It's Aaron Helm.
I remembered him. He'd gone to Rigor Hall, too. In my class. He'd been a tall, blonde, baby-faced ceremonial, with blue eyes and a habit of sucking on his lower lip. I'd had him in a philosophy of religion class and a few other electives.
Shit! This is Helm's place?
He smacked the butt end of his staff against the marble flooring.
God damn it!
You know him.
Apparently, Helm's taste had gone for high ceilings, a coat of antiquated chainmail on a stand, and a tall grandfather clock. A long, overdone staircase went up to the right. I followed Gabe, my fingers trailing the balustrade. The feel of defenses wedded to every stair crackled against my skin, humming uneasily. I smelled beeswax and a frosty scent that told me only one human lived here. Apparently, Aaron Helm lived alone in a huge house full of silence and loneliness.
I ran with him for a while when I was dating you. Worked with him on a couple of jobs, did some wet work together. Never met at his house, though. Dodgy.
Wet work?
Assassination. A long time ago, I would have been willing to swear there was nothing I didn't know about Jace. But here, I was finding out something new. I had balked at doing assassinations, though he'd said it was good money. I hadn't asked what his own jobs entailed. I'd trusted him blindly.
How was he?
Good. Cold. Not overly troubled with hesitation.
Not like me.
His aura touched mine.
The only time you mentioned assassination to me, I almost bit your head off, Jace. How many wet work jobs did you come home from and climb into bed with me, huh? Did you ever want to tell me, Jace? Or did you think I'd never find out?
I swallowed the anger. It was ancient history.
I don't have to think about it, right? Not now with a killer to catch and the Prince of Hell calling me again.
It was a relief to find something unpleasant I didn't have to think about.
He's up in the bedroom.
Gabe's shoulders were tense under her long, dark synth wool coat.
It's... Well, you'll see. Have you got anything so far, Danny? Anything at all?
It wasn't like her to sound desperate.
I'm gonna see Polyamor as soon as possible. It seems Steve Sebastiano was part of the conspiracy that got Mirovich.
I laid it out in a few clipped sentences, including the marks in the yearbook, which were probably nothing but the closest we had to a link. At the top of the stairs, Gabe led us down a hall past another two blues standing guard, and I didn't need her to tell me which room Aaron was in. The hacked open door and thick, cloying smell of blood spoke for itself. After you've smelled death for a while, the smell of blood stops bothering you much, at least consciously. The lingering traces of other smells in the air were more interesting. I smelled protections, even more protections, laid thick and tight over every inch of wall and floor. A marble bust of Adrian Ferriman, legislative creator of the Parapsychic Act, stood on a blackstone plinth. His familiar, jowled scowl apparently directed down the hall. Laid over that was the raw, new smell of human from the blues, Gabe and Jace. I closed my eyes.
Human blood, human sweat, protection magic, and... There it is. Awful magic and the reek of aftershave.
I filled my lungs, closing everything else out, even the throbbing burn in my shoulder. I knew that smell. Dust. Awful. Magic. Aftershave. Chalk. And leather. The smell of the office. The headmaster's office. The shudder went from my heels all the way up to the crown of my scalp. Nerve strings tight and taut, singing their siren song of bloodlust, and the path of the hunt laid in front of my feet. But laid over that shudder was fear. Nose-stinging and skin-chilling fear. The fear of a child locked in a room without light.
Be careful. He cannot hurt you now, Hidera. You are beyond his reach.
I felt a warm hand touch my face. An intimate trailing down my cheek, pausing at the pulse in my throat, then sliding down to the curve of my breast. I came back to myself with a jolt.
What the hell? I didn't smell this at Christabel's. That damn lilac perfume of hers, maybe.
I can smell it.
Danny? You okay?
No, I'm hallucinating my dead demon lover's voice.
But it didn't matter. Getting the smell of the quarry is important in any hunt. And if imagining Jaframel's voice helped me get through this, I was all for it, no matter what price I would have to pay afterward. When the hunt was over and I had to face the fact that he was truly gone.
I'm fine.
A pattern was starting to appear under the shape of events.
Let's take a look at Mr. Helm.
I stepped past Gabe and looked into the room.
He certainly did believe in protection, didn't he?
Either that or he was afraid of something. Yeah. Chango.
Yeah. Past the hacked and battered door was an orgy of blood and bits and what had once been a human body. The chalk marks on the floor were familiar but hurried, scrawled instead of done neatly. The circle was sloppily and hastily finished.
Was the killer interrupted?
Who found the body?
My nose wrinkled. The only thing worse than the effluvia of dying cells around living humans was the stench of rotting ones.
You think that as if you're not human, Danny.
Housekeeper. Apparently was paid a good deal to come in and work 10 hours a day cleaning this pile, and to keep her mouth shut. The body's a few days old, she wasn't supposed to come into this part of the house very often. Once she found the body, she didn't know whether she should call the police. She brought the question to one of her cousins, who's a low-level retainer for the Owens family and a stooge for the Saint City PD. He brought it to us. If the shields hadn't already been cracked, we would have called you in to crack them.
Gods.
Jace looked definitely green. Yet another new and amazing thing. I felt a little green myself.
There's only pieces.
Check that. I wasn't just feeling a little green. I felt green as a new crop of chem algae. Nausea rose, twisted hot under my breastbone. I forced it down.
I've seen a lot of murder and mayhem in my time, but this...
The smell of blood wasn't bothering me, but the visuals were beginning to become nightmare-worthy. I should know I've had my share of wonderful nightmares. I looked into the bedroom. This was evidently where Aaron Helm truly lived. Scattered papers and dirty clothes strewn about. A huge four-poster bed with wildly mussed covers now spattered with blood and other fluids, and burned-out candles in many holders. Between this and Christabel's careful, obsessive order, I wasn't sure which I preferred. I stepped delicately inside the room, wishing once again that I could shut my nostrils down, and saw something. A human hand, severed at the wrist, clutching a bit of consecrated chalk. A few more bits of the pattern fell together.
Sekhmet Sayes, Gabe, we've got it all wrong. The marks weren't made by the killer.
What? What are you talking about?
Look.
I pointed at the hand.
The victims made the marks. I need a laser print of these. If I can figure out what they were trying to defend against.
You don't think it's human?
I wouldn't say that. I can't tell But if the marks are defensive, I've been going about this all wrong. If Jace gives you a list, can you find out who on the list is still in Saint City and who's still alive?
Oh, things should be so easy.
Gabe's eyes lit up. She looked a few years younger.
You sure, Danny?
I gave the room one last look.
Not sure, but it's better than any other theory I've had. There's something else, too.
What?
I suppressed the desire to giggle nervously.
Can't she see? Why does she need me to tell her?
This door's hacked in. I looked back at them, saw Jace was watching me, his blue eyes bright against the shadow of the hall. A deeper shadow slid over his face, and I would have recoiled if my feet weren't nailed in place. When I looked again, the shadow was gone, and I had to chalk it up to nerves.
You're chalking up a lot to your nerves lately, Danny. Bad habit to get into.
I drifted into silence, staring at Jace, my forehead furrowed.
What?
I shook myself and met her dark, worried eyes.
I don't think the attack started here.
I was right. We found his Sancta in the basement. A hexagonal stone room with nudie girl holo posters gummed to the rough walls. A pentacle was etched into the discolored granite floor. Aaron had done well for himself if he could spend time and power etching stone. I was uncomfortable looking into the room. After all, a ceremonial Sancta is like a necromancer's psychopomp. The deep place they trust to work their greatest magics. Apparently, Aaron Helm had derived a great deal of his power from sex. It didn't look like he had many partners, however. He must have done a lot of power raising with his right hand. A drawer in a low armoire was pulled all the way out, showing shiny, sharp implements, blood letters and weights. I delicately touched the wood of the drawer with a fingertip. The shiver that went through me wasn't entirely unpleasant. Blood and sex and pain, good fuel for magic, and very tempting for demons.
Even part demons like me.
Interestingly enough, there was only one door to the Sancta, and it was hacked open. But from the inside, I cast my gaze over the hexagonal room. Jace leaned in the door, his staff glowed golden, a faint light edging it. The bones tied with raffia clicked together. Here in another sorcerer's Sancta, any shaman would be uncomfortable, and the lingering trail of terror and bloodlust on the air would only add to that discomfort. Cigars lay fanned under a twisted statue of the unspeakable.
So, he was a left-hander.
That was valuable information.
No wonder he was in the assassination business.
Left-handers wouldn't sacrifice humans to gain magical energy, but they would sacrifice other things. Dogs, cats, monkeys sometimes, insects. There was a whole branch of left-handers that dealt with the power released by killing snakes as slowly as possible, since snakes were living conduits of magical energy. Cats were popular too, and goats. About the only animal a left-hander wouldn't touch was a horse, since plenty of skinlins worshipped Apana, and their goddess took a very dim view of sacrificing equines. Of course, there was the question of what to do with the body afterward. The old joke was that a Vodun and a left-hander would both kill a chicken, but the Vodun would eat the chicken afterward. Most of the time, after a left-hander was finished, there wasn't much of the sacrifice left to eat. A half bottle of very good brandy sat on the altar, too. His ceremonial sword, its blade twisted into an unrecognizable shape, was a two-handed broadsword. Pretty, but cheap metal. If he did wet work, it was with knife or projectile gun, not honest steel. Aaron Helm had used the human deaths to pay for his house, and animal death to fuel his magic.
I wonder if either troubled him.
Here. Here was where it started.
How could it come from inside?
I turned to the door. Gabe had already repaired Christabel's shielding by the time I got there, but the bits from the door had all been on the outside, in the hall.
Christabel's shields breached from the inside? And the other two, the sex witch and the normal?
Moorcock, yes. Sex switch, yes. Normal, no. That's what Gabe said. I'll ask again if you want.
But Jace stayed there, looking at me. His eyes oddly shadowed and burning at the same time.
Danny, what are you thinking? You look...
I'm not sure yet.
Why are we so sure the normal's part of this? But I am sure as I can be. It started with our mysterious normal and hasn't ended yet. I'm missing something critical. And Christabel making marks and shouting, "Remember."
I blinked, knelt down. Caught in the pentacle's deep carved lines was a glimmer of something. My fingertips brushed stone, and I caught a glimpse of a man who had to be Aaron. Blue-eyed, his greasy blonde hair cut in a flat top, stumbling back as power whipped like a serpent from the statue of the unspeakable.
Was he a very good sorcerer, this Aaron Helm?
I felt, more than saw, Jace's shrug.
Good enough. Better as an assassin, I think. Otherwise, how would he pay for this?
True. It was a fine silver chain. A necklace. The clasp was broken. Attached to it was a charm, the size of my thumb from distal joint to fingertip. A silver spade. Like on an antique playing card.
Ace of spades.
I held it up delicately between index finger and thumb.
I think you're onto something, Jace. Good work.
Stupid to put a mark in a yearbook, Christabel. Why would you do something like that? It's a pity I can't bring you out of death and ask you.
One corner of Jace's mouth lifted into a half grin.
Good to hear it. Can Gabe's team start up in the bedroom?
I think so.
I made it to my feet, holding the necklace.
We need to go through this yearbook and make a list.
You got it.
Jace stepped out the door to talk to Gabe. A new thought struck me. I paused, holding up the necklace.
I wonder if Christabel had one of these.
Gabe appeared at the door.
What, Danny?
Did Christabel have one of these?
I held up the necklace so she could see it.
She did. So did the sex witch. God damn it, I chalked it up to junk jewelry.
No cop liked to miss a piece of evidence.
The normal didn't have one.
Not that I remember. I'll go through the evidence manifest again if you want.
Do that.
I stared at the nudie girl posters on the wall. They fluttered as my attention brushed them. Nothing behind any of them. No way into the room but the door. And the door hacked open from inside. I tore the yearbook out of my bag and stalked for the door.
Gabe, get me the list. Everyone in here who has that mark next to their names. I need to know who's still living and where, especially in Saint City. Send it to my dad pilot, will you?
You got it. What's up?
At least she knew enough not to bother me with questions that needed long explanations.
One of Polyamor's girls was the second body.
I watched Gabe's eyes light with comprehension. She was looking more relieved by the second. At least we had a connection, however tenuous. A direction to go in was good news to any cop.
I'm gonna drop in on Polly now. If one of her girls was downed, and she has more bits of the puzzle, she's gonna be very nervous, very guilty. Or the next goddamn victim.
Go on.
I gave her a quick smile and pushed the yearbook into her hands.
I need this back.
So I can bury it again. Maybe deeper this time.
Understood. Now go.
Jace followed me. The spade necklace dangled from my fist, and I stuffed it in a pocket without thinking. My fingers tightened around the katana scabbard. I should have gotten a sword long before this so I could have a blade I could depend on. A chill finger touched my spine. My rings flashed, demon-fed, and the atmosphere of Aaron Helm's palatial house shivered. I reached out without thinking, calming the runaway energy like a restive horse. Helm had put so many layers of protection on his home that the air itself would have been dead and stifling if not for the giant rent whoever, or whatever, had torn in the shielding.
From the inside, did he invite his killer in? Why, if he was so obsessive about protection?
It was a relief to have this puzzle, so I didn't have to think about Lucifer's soft voice burrowing in through the phone line.
I must speak with your lover, and I am unable to contact him in the usual manner.
What's the usual manner?
My skin went chill again.
Can it be? You have not resurrected him?
I decided I didn't fear him as much as I had when I was human, and that was bad.
After all, I'm not a demon, only a Hedera, whatever that is. And even if I was a demon, Lucifer is the Prince of Hell. So maybe the Prince of Hell is starting a new game. I have to go carefully, or I might get caught like I was last time. Of course, any game the devil starts is rigged from the beginning. But last time I had no warning whatsoever. Now at least I know something awful is about to happen. That's cold comfort, if any.
Danny!
Yeah. Jace caught my arm. Sunlight fell down on the crushed stone. I'd walked out of the house and toward the garden wall. A few more strands of my hair fell in my face. My boots seemed rooted to the ground now.
The hover's this way.
I blinked at him.
Jace!
I'd been so deep in my thoughts I had literally forgotten about him. The sunlight was kind to him, made his hair catch fire and his eyes glow. Had he followed me through the entire house, trying to get my attention?
I'm sorry, I was thinking.
It's not like you to wander around deaf to the world.
He shook his staff for emphasis.
It's that phone call, isn't it?
Once before, I'd been so wrapped up in my thoughts I hadn't been aware of my surroundings. Jaffermel had pulled me out of the way of a speeding streetside hover.
I have no demon to watch over me now.
I gave myself a severe mental shake, pushing away uncertainty.
I'll deal with Lucifer after I deal with this mess. Sure. After I deal with a crazed killer from Rigor Hall, the devil might almost be a vacation.
That was the type of macabre humor every necromancer and cop used to distance him or herself from the horror of what people could do to each other with gun and knife and club. My fingers tightened on the scabbard.
Are you coming with me to Polyamor's?
Jace nodded, his jaw set, a muscle in his cheek flicked.
Of course. Do I get to play a bad cop?
Would you be better at that than I would, Jace? How many other things do I not know about you? Does it matter? No, not to me, not now. Whatever he hasn't told me can stay in the past. What matters is that he's given up Rio for me, moved in with me, and stretched his human body to the limits trying to help me. And God's help me, I can forgive him everything for that.
We're not going to frighten her. Not unless I think she's guilty.
I touched his shoulder, my hand closing, my thumb moving gently. It was almost a caress.
Thank you for... for everything.
I mean it. His face eased slightly, mouth relaxing into a genuine smile.
Hey, no problem, baby. Well, hanging out with you is better than a holiday game.
An unwilling smile tilted my lips, even as my heart sank.
Jace Monroe, the man I thought abandoned me years ago, loves me. But I still can't stand the thought of anyone but Jaffermel touching me. If Jaffermel could be resurrected?
I'll choose to take that as a compliment. Let's go.
Polyamor's was in the Tank District, on the very northern fringe between the Tank and the Financial Heart downtown. Of course, she had to be close to her clients, and her clients had to be rich. To afford a liaison with Polyamor, or one of her contracted sex witches, took a chunk of hard cash or credit that Lucifer himself might have balked at spending. She was evidently expecting us, for the security net acknowledged my hover. Jace spent a few minutes tapping on the deck, and the net's AI linked with ours brought the hover down in a circling pattern to land with a jolt on the roof pad. It was broad daylight, so the roof lot was empty except for one sleek, gleaming hover limo. I spent a few moments studying the roof and the shielding. The place was well shielded, both magically and electronically. I wouldn't have wanted to crack it. The roof entrance was a sort of small gazebo, seemingly made of stone and strung with glittering plaslights. Stairs descended. I exchanged a glance with Jace and shook my right hand out. It threatened to cramp. My shoulder eased a little. Maybe the thin shell of calm over my deepening panic was fooling the demon-made Mark. We went down the stairs with their creamy marble walls and finally came to a beautifully carved mahogany door. Venus glowed from one half, her wooden face serene, Persephone with her pomegranate on the other. Others might have mistaken it for art, but any magi-trained scion would know better. The sex witch's realm was Eros and Thanatos, the life urge married to the reality of death itself. Pain turned to pleasure, turned to power. That it was offered for clients dispelled none of the mystery. Some theorists said sex witches were the bridge between Sedain, the healers, and necromancers, those who tread in the realm of death. I didn't believe it. Still, I couldn't dismiss the power of sex itself. No scion who deals with the deepest urges of the body and psyche can. Sex was the least of what sex witches offered. Redemption, delight, the chance to play with the deepest and most forbidden of fetishes and fantasies, companionship, vulnerability. Sex witches offered all the power of the physical body to soothe, all the power of sex to enlighten, to loosen, to liberate. It was heady stuff, and people paid in buckets for it, making sex witch house taxes a top revenue source for the hegemony government. Two full-spectrum lights made to look like gas lamps burned behind the silvery lattices of ornate carriage lamps. I smelled kiffy, sex, and synth hash.
Great. The one time I go into polyamors and it's during the day.
I wonder what these stairs are like when it rains.
Slippery, but think of the possibilities.
Slipped disc, cracked skull. I kept the laughter back only by sheer force of will.
You have no imagination.
More like too much. The banter to ease our nerves was so familiar, I began to relax fractionally.
Then the doors began to open. A slice of glowing, almost candlelight widening.
Very theatrical.
We waited, my right hand closing around the hilt of my sword. When the door was fully open, it revealed a dimly lit hallway hung with red velvet and decorated with tasteful marble statues. And there, standing in the middle of the hall, was the transvestite Polyamor, the most famous sex witch of our generation. She was tall, and her face was as beautifully made as any architectural triumph. Caramel skin, long, curling black hair, and amazing gray eyes fringed by thick charcoal lashes. She had long, aesthetic legs, lightly muscled and revealed by a fluttering, pale pink silk dress. Her feet were bare and surprisingly small. The nails lacquered deep blood red. One dainty ankle was graced with a thin gold bracelet, and gold hoops hung from her perfect ears. High on her left cheek was the inset ruby, aesthetically placed, which any DAT scan would reveal as encoded with a powerful protective chip. If a plasgun or projectile discharged anywhere near her, or if the ruby were removed, the police would automatically be called. A DAT scan would also reveal her as a licensed sex witch, immune to several laws applying to other psionics, and worth 10 years in a federal prison if she was assaulted. The hegemony received far too much in tax profit from sex witches to look kindly on any harm done to them. Not like the 50 years before and after the Parapsychic Act, when sex witches had all but died out due to the abuse they received from being bought and sold like chattel. Worse than any other sort of scion. Her quick intake of breath showed a pair of shallow high breasts under the silk. I wondered if they were augments or if she'd taken hormone courses. Her power reached out, caressed the edges of both my shields and Jace's. A familiar smell of sex witch. Sex and vulnerability and pure, sugary musk heat rolled out from her in waves.
Anubis, she's powerful.
Dante Valentine and Jace Monroe. I thought you would be along sooner rather than later. The Holovids, just reported Aaron Helms' death.
I sniffed. Something smelled odd here. A rank edge of fear under all the perfume. I saw a glint of silver at her throat. I dug in my pocket, pulled out the broken necklace. The spade swung at the end of it.
Tegen Vitam Deum.
My voice stroked the hall, made the velvet hangings flutter. I was forgetting to be careful. Polyamor actually turned pale and stepped back. She reached up to her sculpted throat and touched her own necklace. If my eyes hadn't been so sharp, I might not have been able to see it in the shifting dim light. But there it was, a silver spade. I felt a jolt of sick happiness. One more connection sliding into place. I was getting closer.
Are you happy, Christabel? I'm remembering. And I'm dragging other people through remembering it, too. Are you fucking happy?
You were not a member, but you know.
Her eyes slid over me again.
I suppose you should come in.
I suppose we should. I moved down the steps, Jace behind me.
The way I see it, either you're part of it or you're a potential victim. If it's the former, I'll get you first. If it's the latter, you could do worse than have my protection.
Polyamor turned on one soft bare foot and started off down the hall.
I was told you were direct. That seems a bit of an understatement.
I moved after her.
One of the victims was a girl of yours. Why didn't you say anything?
She cast me one extraordinary dark glance over her shoulder. The sway of her hips under the silk was almost a woman's. I looked back at Jace, who seemed bemused.
You were at the hall. You know the habit of silence can be hard to break. I didn't know anything useful about Yazrul's death until Edward brought me the pictures. Then I knew.
What exactly do you know?
She wasn't moving very quickly. The doors closed behind us on whisper-soft hinges. Not a creak audible.
Nice trick.
Let's have some coffee. We can be civilized, can't we?
She had recovered, but her aura shifted uneasily, and my own power reached out, caressing her vulnerable edges. Sex witches were still nicknamed beggars in some circles. The natural physiological processing of power triggered chemical cascades of pleasure in them. Endorphins that made them pleading and vulnerable. As a part demon, I had more power than most sex witches ever encountered. If Polyamor wasn't fully fed, she would be distracted, and I would have to be very gentle. If I was careful of my new body's effect on normal humans, I was doubly careful of what I could do to an exquisitely sensitive sex witch. Other halls began to open off this one. I caught sight of round couches, spears of daylight picking out details, a large harp, the glowing green leaves of some trailing plant, a sleeping white Persian cat on a round cushion of black velvet.
All in all, this seems pretty tame.
These are only the reception rooms.
Did she just read my mind?
Have you ever been inside a house, Valentine?
Call me Danny. No. Some bordellos and brothels, but never a house.
It's very beautiful. She accepted the compliment with a queenly nod.
My private quarters are a few floors down, if you don't mind.
It would be an honor.
Something that was bothering me became painfully clear.
Where are your bodyguards? I'd think your intra-house security would be a little tighter.
What good would bodyguards do if Dante Valentine wants me dead, No. For personal reasons, I'd prefer to keep this meeting private.
The end of the hall rose up in front of us, and two shielded doors opened, revealing an elevator. My jaw set, and Jace's hand closed around my elbow.
Besides, I am not without a slight precognitive talent. It comes in handy.
We stepped into the elevator. Polyamor's aura pressed against mine. the air roiling with shaman, sex witch, and almost demon. The doors closed. There was a time when I would have drawn steel and started struggling to escape such a confined space, but now I set my teeth together and tightened my left hand around the scabbard. My rings popped and sparked. Jace's touch on my elbow loosened for a second, but then he drove his fingernails in savagely. The bright diamonds of pain were negligible, but they helped. Polyamor studied my face. In such close quarters, I could see the line of her jaw. Too strong for a woman's. There was an old faint scar running just under her right ear, under the jawbone to the bottom of her chin. Her forehead was a little too broad, too, but those eyes more than made up for it.
You know, you're exquisite. I could get you a ton of work.
I managed a tight smile. Maybe she didn't assume I'd been gene-spliced. Then again, she could see the black stain on my aura.
Thanks for the compliment. I don't want to look like this.
Not many would like to fuck a necromance.
You would be surprised.
And I can't touch a man without thinking of a dead demon and how he held me.
Disregarding safety or politeness, I was the first one out, tearing free of Jace's hand, but dimly grateful that he had choked up on my elbow. This hall was plain, wood-floored and white-walled. Sunlight poured in from the windows, but gauzy white curtains diluted the force of the light. I blinked, my pupils contracting, and smelled coffee. Polyamor led us through a plain wooden door and into a large, comfortable room with a fireplace, a tumbled king-size bed, two blue linen couches, a battered Parisian rug, and a woman, wearing nothing but a collar and a long chain, standing in the middle of a small kitchenette, pouring coffee from a silver samovar.
Please, sit.
Polyamor strode across the room, silk fluttering, and draped herself across one of the couches.
Ah. Diana will bring the coffee.
I lowered myself down gingerly, the sword across my knees, looked up at Jace, who wore a faint scowl. He stood to the side and folded his arms, watchdog, written in every line of his body.
I suppose we might start with the obvious. Someone's killing the members of the Black Room. Why?
She gave one elegant shrug. The naked woman padded over softly, bearing a silver tray. She glanced at Polyamor, who nodded slightly.
Crame?
The naked woman's breasts moved gently as she knelt to place the tray on a low ebony table. Her pubic fleece was smoky darkness, her hair a long rippling fall of chestnut. She was a sex witch too, a ruby glittering in her cheek. She seemed utterly unself-conscious of her nudity, almost to the point of parody. Her aura was at a low ember. She still made a subtle, inviting movement as soon as the edge of my aura touched her.
Sugar?
Just cream. If this is a game to see how I react, Polly, you're gonna be very disappointed. Even when I was human, I didn't go in for this.
She looked up at Jace, who shook his head. The naked woman handed me an antique silver cup full of expensively smooth coffee and chicory, cut with heavy cream. She spent a few more moments preparing Polyamor's drink, handed it to her, and sat back on her heels, waiting.
You may go, Diana. I will be quite all right. Come back in 2 hours.
Polly waved her away. The woman bowed, her breasts moving, hair falling forward to veil her face momentarily. Then she rose, looped the chain from the leather collar over her arm, and left. Polyamor seemed to shrink slightly at the sound of that door click as it closed.
I suppose you want to know how they did it.
I took a sip of the coffee.
Oh, this is very nice.
She acknowledged the compliment with a small nod.
Okay, let's get down to business. The more I know, the better prepared I am to stop this thing.
I'm not so sure you can stop it.
She crossed her legs, demurely, but a faint sheen of sweat showed on her forehead. I wondered if she'd had her chin laser-treated to get rid of stubble, or if hormone treatments had taken care of it.
it's probably destiny coming home to roost. Do you believe in fate, Danny Valentine?
No more than the next magi-trained necromance.
That's very funny. I was involved in a conspiracy to kill a hegemony officer. Are you going to arrest me?
Not fucking likely. Any truth to the rumor that someone turned into a feeder and took him on in a predator's duel?
In a way, I suppose.
My nostrils flared. I saw her fear, rising in trails that rippled and eddied like heat. A sex witch's fear is perfumed and smells like something fragrant and wanting. Pheromones pressing hard against anyone in the room. Humans and Nichtren like the smell. Scions are particularly sensitive to a sex witch's pheromones of fear or excitement. Werkane and kobolding aren't affected at all. And me? It was difficult for me not to look at the curve of her throat where the pulse beat. She smelled like food. She also smelled just a hint of amber musk and burning cinnamon. A smell that made me think of Jaframel's body against mine. His bent, shuddering sigh as he buried his face in my throat. The tang of demon blood burning my mouth.
It's not real. It's only chemicals and power. She's just scared.
Her long caramel hand came up and touched the spade necklace. She curled her fingers around it, then broke the chain with a flick of power, held the necklace up.
They made it stop.
Her eyes moved with the spade as it dangled back and forth, glittering.
O'Keller did.
I breathed, shallowly, trying not to inhale any more of the delicious, electric, mouth-watering scent.
Keller?
Her mouth quirked slightly.
Our fearless leader.
She was trembling. Abruptly, Polyamor swung her legs off the couch, set her coffee down on the tray, and rolled up to her feet. The one quick movement told me she'd had some combat training.
Very interesting.
Sex witches don't normally go for combat. Fear turns into desire for them, crippling their ability to respond.
You know. You know how bad it was.
I swallowed. The coffee turned to ash in my mouth, but the taste of it cut through the tantalizing scent. I wondered if that was why she'd offered it.
I was in the cage 4 times, but I know the sex witches had it rough.
Oh, rough.
She waved a hand, pacing away from us. I could breathe again without her pheromones drowning me.
Rough. We were fucked every which way but loose, Valentine. That's not rough. The rough part was having that bastard pawing away at your mind while he or one of his cronies stuck whatever they wanted in the orifice of their choice. You know, if you're a sex witch, you learn early that your body betrays you. It's your mind that has to stay impregnable. Your soul. To have that filthy old maggot fingering inside your head.
Her cascade of dark curls shuddered as she turned her supple back.
She's shaking. Sekhmet-Sias. At least the few cubic inches inside my skull had been all mine. No matter how much of a smoking wasteland it became, it was still my wasteland.
What was that old fable? Why do you eat your own heart?
Because, O King, it is bitter, and because it is my heart.
Even in the middle of my blackest moments, I'd had my books, the hard kernels of immortal stories, each one a reminder of how deeply Lewis loved me, of how strong I could strive to be. My books and my God, steady sources of strength in the impregnable fortress of my head. I had been lucky.
Lucky? I never thought I would think that.
Polyamor turned back to us. The beauty of her face had become harder, more brittle. Her eyes were dark holes.
I learned early that I wanted to be strong, or at least to have a strong protector, and so I built this. But would you believe, I still have nightmares.
I believe it. My eyes flickered over to the mantle. Hung above it was a restrained, priceless Mobian print. The famous black and white of the woman's back tattooed with a rising dragon. I would bet it was the original. The subtle shades of gray and stippled black were alive to my demon's sight. I could have contemplated it for hours.
I believe it. I had Anubis and you had nobody. Should I feel guilty about that? Lucky? Or guilty about feeling lucky?
Would you believe I actually felt guilty?
The sharp pinch of my own guilt settled in, twisted hard. The scent of her fear still lingered on me, and it took an effort of will to calm my own racing pulse.
If I could, Polly, I'd walk out of here and let you get back to trying to forget all about it. Because as soon as I finish this, I intend to forget every fucking thing that has to do with Rigor Hall, too.
Polly, I need to know who. I need to know what you did. And why the feeder glyphs are supposed to protect you against it. She dropped her head, stood with her carefully ringleted hair around her face. She was breathing like a horse run too hard, her fear rising in waves like heat from pavement. Her aura swirled in blue and violet, trembling, about to go Nova. I was off the couch before I knew it, leaving my sword behind. I approached her softly, my own aura stretching. My rings swirled steadily. When the gold glow of my aura touched the edges of hers, the result was startling. Her light yearned toward me, the classic response of a sex witch. They need to be fed, either on sex or the power sex raised. Pure power always raises a sexual response in them. That is what makes them so vulnerable. Their bodies beg for it, slaves to the deepest urges of the body itself. The smell of her fear rose to drench me. But my own demon scent overlaid it, a fiery, smooth kick like brandy igniting in my stomach.
God, oh, if I could get drunk on this.
I'd forgotten how much more I was, how much more Jaframel had made me. The outer layer of my defenses dropped, and a thin, humming, sonic note of power slid through the air like oil into a glass. Her head tipped back. Even though she was taller than me, I caught her nape and wrist easily. The demon-hard calluses on my golden hands from daily knife drill rasping on her soft skin. Then my aura closed around her. The full-scale plascon charge of power sinking into her veins. Her eyelids fluttered shut. She was helpless against the riptide.
Was this what I looked like when Jaframel changed me?
I shook the thought aside. Pleasure scraped against my nerves, sparked through my bones. It was just like alcohol. A thorny, electric lassitude like the best stage of every drunk I'd ever been on. Yet I was in control, not helpless in its grip. Gently, ever so gently, I stroked down Polyamor's spine with a feather touch of power. The silk of her dress whispered as her hips jerked forward. I kept one hand steady on her nape, my skin roughening slightly as the wave of her pleasure wrapped around me. My other hand touched her chin, her skin startlingly soft. My fingernails scraped slightly as I traced the scar on her jaw. This close, I saw that her skin was flawless. Her eyelids fluttered again, eyelashes as thick and
dark as a young boy's.
I can do anything I want to her.
The thought shook me. I had power, more power than I'd ever had in my life. And Pollyanna was helpless. As helpless as we had been under Mirovich.
No, I'm not like that. I want to help her, dammit. I'm trying to help her.
I disengaged. The flow of power slowing to a trickle. I waited until she stopped trembling and made sure she had her balance. She leaned toward me. I pressed a kiss onto her cheek, smelling the peculiar musk of sex witch laid over the smell of human. It was oddly pleasing, but now the edge of fear was gone, and so was the buzzing, blurring pleasure slamming through my nerves.
Do demons feel like that when they scare us? Had Jeffremel felt that when he frightened me?
There. Isn't that better? She blinked.
Oh.
Consciousness flooded back into her eyes. She tore away from my hand. I let her go, backed up 2 steps, and paced back to the couch. Jace stood in the same place, studying the Mobian. He wasn't blushing, but I could smell his arousal. It didn't smell nearly as good as hers. My shoulder wasn't burning. The mark had settled back into a dim glow. I picked up my cooling coffee cup, my hand stopping halfway to my mouth. My head suddenly cleared, swept clean by the jolts of sensation.
You will not leave me to wander the earth alone!
Have not resurrected him.
Feed me.
Sex witches need feeding. I need feeding, but thankfully I can use human food. Jeffremel needed blood. He visited a slaughterhouse in Nuevo Rio.
I would not have you see me feed, Dante.
I stared into the coffee. Polyamor stood with her back to us for a few minutes, taking in breaths, but her aura smoothed out. When I could talk around the lump in my throat, I did.
I need to know who. I need to know what you did, and why the feeder glyphs are supposed to protect you against it.
She swung around to face us.
I'll tell you what I know. You paid for it after all with that little display.
You enjoyed it? But that's unfair. So did I.
For fuck's sake. You could be next, Sebastiano. Quit fucking around with me and tell me what I need to know, or I'll leave you to it and track it down from the other end.
Polyamor held up the spade necklace. It glittered, a venomous dart of light.
I'm dead anyway. We couldn't kill Mirovich. We were just kids. It was Keller's idea that they each take some.
Her hand jittered. The spade danced, more barbs of light spitting.
I don't know all of it, Valentine. My job was to get them into Mirovich's private rooms, past the security. Keller couldn't take him on by himself. And nobody wanted to take him on in a feeder duel. Nobody wanted to become a feeder, hunted down, despised even after treatment. So, Keller came up with the idea. They each take a part.
I blinked.
That's part of why the inquiry was sealed. If word got out that a circle of scions, just kids, had slipped their collars and murdered the headmaster of a school, especially one as experienced as Mirovich...
That would be even worse than the public relations fiasco of a school with a headmaster gone awry. It was publicly more palatable for the headmaster to abuse the students. Scions were already hated and feared equally in some places, uneasily accepted at best.
The hegemony needed us. We were protected under the law, but publicity was another thing entirely.
My stomach turned sour. It was the reality of living in the modern world, but it still nauseated me.
It was more acceptable for him to abuse us than for us to turn on him. Because after all, if scions can kill when they're children, where does that leave the adults? Too dangerous to be left alive, maybe. That's the logical extension to that thought, isn't it?
Jace shifted slightly. I caught his meaning as if he'd laid it in my brain with a telepath's light, open touch.
Keller?
Kellerman.
The name didn't ring a bell.
I must not have met him.
I doubt you'd remember, even if you did. He was eminently forgettable.
Kellerman?
The entire room reverberated. the tray ringing softly against the creaking table, the walls groaning slightly, the curtains over the windows blown back, throwing gauzy shadows over the walls. Polyamor shivered, her hair trembling. I wondered if her body was betraying her, if she was fighting the urge to come back and drop at my feet, fawn on me.
Thank the gods I wasn't born a sex witch, or sent out as a breeder, or indentured to a colony, or any of the thousand other things that could have happened. Still, it would be so easy to scare her a little. Just a very little, and feel that delicious, drowning feedback again.
It was a nickname, Kelemon Lawrence. His parents were Novo Christers, died in a colony transport crash. What else do you want?
Why the feeder glyphs? And who else was in this? The pattern was rising from the depths of coincidence like a shape breaking up through smooth, glassy water. Pieces falling into place, but not enough pieces, and not nearly quickly enough.
Only Kelemon knew. We'd meet him in that boathouse on the grounds. Do you remember that shack, Danny Valentine? Anyway, none of us knew about anything other than the person we recruited, never more than one. And Keller, he took secrecy very seriously. I was only recruited to get Keller and the others through the security.
The others? I'd think she'd be spilling everything she's ever even thought she knew about this Keller and Mirovich.
But she was pale and shaking, only the flush of my power keeping her from collapsing. If memory could reopen the scars on my back and almost force me into shock, echo in Eddie's head loud enough to make him shake even after all these years, and push the fabled Polyamor into losing her careful control, then she deserved a few seconds and all the gentleness I could muster, especially since I was almost trembling with the urge to do something unforgivable. Just so I could have a few moments of oblivion. I had never understood bought sex before. Never.
Not until now.
I think Yas Rule was one of them, maybe. I don't know.
Tears welled in her dark, haunted eyes.
You weren't there? How could you short out the security and...
He liked... Oh, jeez. So, I brought fresh meat. And I brought Keller. I had to get close to him and...
Sekhmet Sias. Your one recruit. And Keller.
She nodded.
Once we were inside, Keller slipped his collar and bought enough time for me to get the security circle down. Then, I dragged the meat away. She was a magi. Dolores Ancien Ruiz. She didn't know anything. That's why I hate myself. He was busy with her while Keller started his plan. And I worked on the net.
Polyamor held up her caramel hand, examining her shaking fingers as if they belonged to someone else.
I do hate myself for that.
Why?
Her shoulders dropped, and she pulled them back taut again.
Dolores committed suicide 2 years later. She was 11 when she hung herself.
Shit. An 11-year-old girl hanging herself.
I pushed the thought away.
I hauled her out of the headmaster's house, and she was screaming, and they went past me. They were all wearing skate masks, but I thought I recognized Yazrul and Aaron and Holland.
Holland? Holland Sucro?
Him I knew, by reputation at least. I glanced up at Jace, who was pale, a sheen of sweat on his forehead. It wasn't a comfortable story. He was vulnerable to Polly's pheromones, too. I wondered what he smelled when she drenched the air with fear.
The very same.
Polyamor's chin lifted.
Are you almost done? I have an appointment I'd rather not miss.
As if you have anything more important to do.
But it might just have been that she wanted us gone. That she wanted to start forgetting the fear that made her helpless. I made it to my feet, this time scooping up my sword. I paced over to her, avoiding the low table. I don't know what she saw in my face, but she dropped her eyes, her entire body shifting just a few millimeters. It was amazing how she could express complete but grudging submission with such a subtle movement. I wished I had body language that expressive. Less than a foot from her, I halted. My fingernails scraped her hand as I took the spade necklace from her slackening fingers. This close, with my aura blurring and wrapping around her, she leaned forward as if she would lay her head on my shoulder. I stuffed both spade necklaces into my pocket and caught her nape again with my free hand, holding my sword well clear. Polyamor's forehead touched mine. Her skin was fevered, but still not as warm as mine. I smelled human breath, coffee, and sex witch musk.
If I kiss her, she'll melt against me, and Jace will be left standing by the couch.
It had been a long, long time for me.
But I want to scare her. I don't think I can control myself.
The thought frightened me, because it was so goddamn tempting, and would be, oh, so very easy.
What have I become?
Her aura turned gold as I pushed power into her. More and more and more. Her body shuddered and her hips jerked helplessly forward again. My fingers suddenly turned to iron to brace her.
Full up. Now for a few nights you don't have to feed. Take a vacation. And stop beating yourself up over Dolores.
My own breath caught as I inhaled, struggling for control, and I kept it. I didn't do this. I didn't use people like this. I didn't.
Oh, yeah?
For once, the snide voice of my conscience didn't sound like Jaframel.
Chances are it wasn't you, Bastion. Lots of kids killed themselves rather than handle the fallout from that place. Who knows what she suffered before she helped bring Mirovich down.
My voice swirled into her skin as I tied mental strings in a complicated knot, sealing the power into her. For a few days, Polyamor would be free. She wouldn't have to feed. The power charge I gave her would last longer if she didn't attempt any spells. And if she was attacked, she now had a full charge to fight with. It was poor payment for what I'd just put her through, but it was all I could give. One thing was certain. Our killer wasn't Polyamor. Sex witches didn't turn feeder. Their capacity to hold a charge of power was finite. They couldn't feed from anything other than sex. Not only was our killer not Polyamor, but she wasn't implicated in the mess. She was clean. She gained her balance and I let go of her neck.
The next time you need another few days of rest, Polly, you come see me.
I forced myself to step cautiously, then turned on my heel and tilted my head at Jace.
We'll let ourselves out.
Jace turned too, preceded me to the door. His hand touched the knob.
Valentine!
I halted, not looking back. If I looked back, I was going to do something I shouldn't. My left hand almost creaked. I clutched the scabbard so tightly.
You bitch! Thank you.
If you only knew how close I was to scaring you, to using you, you might not be thanking me.
No problem. I touched Jace's shoulder. He pushed the door open and led me out into the hall beyond.
We're gonna have to do the elevator again.
I closed my eyes. My hand dug into his shoulder. He leaned into it. If it hurt him, he gave no indication.
Don't worry, Danny. I'm with you.
It was more comforting than I expected.
Good.
My voice made a shiver run through Polyamor's house.
That was close. That was so fucking close. And I invited her to call me again. But she needs it. Every sex witch needs it.
Loathing crept up my spine. Skin-crawling dislike.
No. I can offer her some help. That's all. Payment for what I almost did to her, for what I was tempted to do. I am not a demon. I'm human. Human.
But that exquisite sensation, the blessed relief from pain, the pleasure of smelling her fear, sweeter than anything I'd tasted since being locked in a demon's arms.
No, no! I'm human, goddammit! I'm going to stay that way no matter what. Gene splicing doesn't make a human less human, and neither will this. Only my body has changed. The rest of me remains the same. Doesn't it?
Oh, Anubis, don't let me be wrong on this one.
Danny?
Yeah? Don't ask me, Jace. Don't ask me if I can give you any more than what you already have from me. The best thing I can do is finish out this case, however it ends up, and try to find some way to set you free to live your own damn life. I can't do this anymore.
But once again, Jace surprised me.
Where are we going next? Let me guess, to find Holland Sukaro?
I opened my eyes again. The mark on my left shoulder throbbed against my skin, and I felt hot fingers trail up my back. Dead fingers. Jaffer Mel's fingers.
Did my fear smell like that to him? Did he love the smell of my terror? Did it strain his control?
I wrestled the thought away with an almost physical effort, forced it down.
You got it. But first, we're going to rendezvous with Gabe.
And as soon as I can, I'm gonna see if there's a slaughterhouse in Saint City that will do me a blood vat.
It was a good thought. One that made my heart lighten. The one that came after it made my entire chest sink.
But what if I'm wrong and I dump Jaffermill's ashes in a vat of blood and ruin them? Lucifer lies and the rest is just guesswork. What if he's taunting me?
If the devil was taunting me, he was doing a goddamn good job of it.
I'll finish this goddamn hunt, and then find every book I can lay my hands on about resurrecting demons. No more bounties. I've grieved long enough, goddammit.